Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our series, At the Movies. Join us for our summer blockbuster message series as together we search for timeless truths revealed in Hollywood's biggest films. I hope you enjoy today's message.
When you see a movie like The Greatest Showman, it just stirs something within you, doesn't it? It just makes you want to rise up and do something awesome. I mean, that's what it does for me. I see something like that, I get pumped up, and I want to live a life of adventure. I want to live a life with excitement. I want to do something of significance, something ambitious. We all do that. Like, we want that, don't we? We want to be people that make history. So let me ask this. Why is it that the vast number of Christ followers live lives of little or no impact? Because that's the reality. So many of us have big dreams and we start out with big vision for our lives, and somewhere along the way, we lose sight of it. It cools. We settle for something else instead. Why is that? Well, there's something I got a hold of that might give us an answer as to why. Y'all have probably heard of that little poem called Footprints in the Sand. If you're not familiar with it, it's a little poem that talks about a guy having a dream, and he's walking on the beach with the Lord, and he sees two sets of footprints in the sand, and then, you know, it represents his footprints and the Lord's. And then at the darkest, hardest times of his life, he notices there's just one set of footprints, and he said, Lord, why did you leave me when I needed you the most? And the Lord replies, I didn't leave you, those are the times I carried you. And we read that the first time, we go, oh. Then we read it a second time, we're like, it's okay, you know. And then every time since then, we're like, oh. We're just tired of it by now, right? So it needs freshened up a bit. So I got a hold of one, and see if you like it. Let me read it for you. Here's what it says. One night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen. The footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. But then some stranger prints appeared. I asked the Lord, what have we here? These prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they are too big for feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed, you would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired, I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand. What if that's really what life is more like? When it's all said and done, what if that's it? And if so, how do we stop it? And how do we step up and step in and get into the game so that we can live a life of significance? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. How can we position ourselves before God so that we can get swept up in the great drama that He wants to tell through your life? That's what I want to talk about. Now, as you probably already know, The Greatest Showman is a movie about the famous circus creator, P.T. Barnum. And P.T. Barnum was a dreamer. I mean, we see that when we watch the movie. Even as a young boy, he had big dreams. And the people in his life, just like for us a lot of times, they didn't necessarily support that. They didn't necessarily rally around that or encourage that. In fact, there were a lot of naysayers, a lot of people and things working against him, because others just couldn't quite catch the vision that he had and get on board with the dreams and gifts that were developing inside of him, even as a young boy. You know, there's a great song in the movie The Greatest Showman. It's called Come Alive. And if you know that song, you know that that's, you know, kind of the anthem for P.T. Barnum. And we just see that in him in this movie. And do you know that's what God wants for you? He wants you to be able to come alive and live like you've never lived before. In fact, Jesus tells us that is exactly why he came. So that we would have life and have it to the fullest. The best possible kind of God life. That's why he came. And so today I want to share with you four things that I take away from the movie The Greatest Showman. There are a bunch of things. I narrowed it down to four of my favorites. four things that I think that if we're going to be the kind of people who come alive and dream big dreams and live the God life to the fullest, these are some things that we need to do if we're truly going to come alive. So here they are. Let me give you the first one, and it's this. Embrace who God made you to be. Embrace who he made you to be. Here's the thing. You're a child of the living God. Let God's vision for your life determine your reality, not what the world says, not what others have to say about you. When God gives you a vision for who you are and what you were created to be, live it out. Come alive. Don't let anyone shame you out of it or discourage you from pursuing it. You know, people did this with Jesus even. They tried. They labeled him when he was on earth. They said, he's just a carpenter. He's just a boy from Nazareth. They refused to believe in him. They rejected his purpose and who God made him to be. You need to remember, I need to remember, that when we are the ones who feel rejected and broken, there's a lot of other rejected and broken people around us. And when we discover our purpose and we chase after the dream that God gives us, you and I have the opportunity to help others find their purpose too. So P.T. Barnum did. Check out this clip right here.
You must be Gertrude Strand. I'm looking for your son.
I don't have a son.
The hospital record says you do. Charles, right? Age 22.
Charles. Charles!
P.T. Barnum, at your service. I am putting together a show, and I need a star.
You want people to laugh at me?
Well, they're laughing anyway, kid, so might as well get paid.
So when P.T. Barnum meets Charles Stratton, like we saw in that clip, the guy who would later become General Tom Thumb in his show, he says, they're laughing anyway, kid, you might as well get paid. But what P.T. Barnum misses, he misses a critical thing. He missed the point, made a critical error, because it's not really fame or money that people long for. What we long for is acceptance. What we long for is significance. To belong to something that's greater than us, that's meaningful. Money, fame, power doesn't even come close to filling the void that's within us that can only be filled by living a life of significance that God places within us. A sense of family, a sense of belonging. Those are the things that we long for. Check this out.
I see a soldier. No, a general. Riding across the stage with a sword and a gun and the most beautiful uniform ever made. People will come from all over the world, and when they see him, they won't laugh. They'll salute.
How's it looking, girls?
Hey, you looking for freaks? I know where you can find one of them.
Really?
Come on, girls.
Oh. Sir, you shouldn't be here.
I'm sorry. Who's doing this singing? It's you, isn't it?
Sir, I have to ask you to leave.
You are so talented, blessed. Extraordinary. Unique. I would even say beautiful.
Sir, please leave me alone.
understand, but they will.
Phineas began to understand what people really were longing for, and he changed his sales pitch. Let me show you what it says in Psalm 139, verse 16. It says, your eyes, talking about God, saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That's written about you. Do you know that God doesn't create anything accidentally? Do you know that everything God does is on purpose, for a purpose? He has a reason for everything that he creates, and that includes you. P.T. Barnum used the pain of his rejection as fuel to give others the opportunity to have their uniqueness become their purpose. And I think we identify with him in that way because he chased down his dream. And we look at that and we say, we see a guy who chases it down and we say, man, I wish I had that kind of resolve. Or I wish I had that kind of ambition. Or I wish that I had that kind of tenacity or courage or audacity. And we say, the reason we say that and we still think that, like, I wish I would have done that, or I wish that was me, or I wish I would do that, is because there's still something in us that wants to do that. We just need to tap into it. Check out what Ephesians 2:10 says. For we are God's handiwork. You are God's handiwork. Some translations say his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, because God doesn't do anything by accident. So P.T. Barnum and his new group of misfits were about to discover that they could be used in a big way. Sometimes we think that God couldn't possibly use us. But then he places people in our lives that speak truth into our lives, and they encourage us to pursue those God-given dreams. When we read the Gospels, we see that's exactly what Jesus did. He called out the good in people. P.T. Barnum's troop was made up of misfits and people who society rejected. They called them freaks. You know, another great song in the movie is called This Is Me. And it's their declaration of defiance, their refusal to accept rejection and instead celebrate who they are. Isn't that something that we long for? Deep down, there's a yearning in you and me to be who God created us to be. And I'm just encouraging you, embrace that. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, says this. So Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness in Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. God created you uniquely, and he gave you gifts and passions so that you can make a difference, so that you can serve others. Just like each part of our physical bodies has a different role, a different function that it does, so that our bodies can be healthy and function well, it works the same way for the church, for the body of Christ. For us to function well and be healthy, we need every part doing its part. One of the things that P.T. Barnum failed to realize is that there's something that's so much more significant, more valuable than money. Just like us, and he found this out, he needed something deeper. A bigger reason, something more significant that he would never get from accolades or accomplishment or applause. Ultimately, we're all looking for a sense of belonging, for connection, for community, for family. And you know, that's our dream for every person here at New Point. Everybody, regardless of who you are or where you've been, regardless of your background, your ethnicity, your lifestyle, your politics, your past, the things you've done, the things that have been done to you, we are a family. And as a family, together, the primary thing we do, the number one thing we do, in fact, it's the mission of our church, is we want to help you discover and live out your purpose. In fact, we say it this way. Our mission here at New Point is to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. Discover and live out who God created them to be. And if we're going to do that, that brings me to the second thing I learned in The Greatest Showman, and that is this: love without boundaries. Love without boundaries. P.T. Barnum valued the people on the fringes of society, and he brought them into a family. He saw the gifts in them that others overlooked. In fact, let's take a look at how all this got started in the movie. Check it out.
Hey, Ann and W.D. Wheeler. Brother and sister?
Yes, sir.
Terrific. And what do you do?
Trapeze.
Trapeze? Okay.
You know, people aren't going to like it if you put us on the stage.
Oh, I'm counting on it. Is this over your
entire body?
Terrific. I don't need to see.
I prefer not to say,
just
but...
Just between you and me, 500 pounds. 750 pounds?
750 pounds!
What is your name?
Vasily Palavro, sir.
Yeah, we're gonna change that name. I think you're Irish.
He gave the misfits and the outcasts a platform for purposeful service that brought meaning, not just to their lives, but to others as well. He challenged the norm that said you can't value or have meaningful relationships with people who are different from you. And by the way, isn't that just what Jesus does? In fact, interestingly, we read about a story in Jesus' life where he sought out a really small man. It was a guy who was an outcast, who was rejected and despised by society. His name was Zacchaeus. Nobody liked him. He was a tax collector. We read in Scripture that he was very, very small. And Jesus went to him and he says, "You're who I'm looking for. I don't care what everybody else says about you. I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care what you're up against. I'm looking for you." And that's just what Jesus does with us. That's what he does. And isn't that too what he calls us to do? As followers of Christ, as his sons and daughters, we need to do that for others. Check out what it says here in Romans. I want to read this from Romans 13. It says, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment." Here it is. "Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law." When society shunned and shamed the lepers, Jesus touched them, healed them, and restored them to community. When society treated women as inferior and as property, Jesus fought for them and included them. When society built barriers of relational conflict between ethnic groups, genders, political groups, socioeconomic classes, Jesus broke down those barriers and made one family. When society viewed children as a distraction, Jesus said, "Let them come to me," and he blessed them. When prideful religious elites condemned and judged others as immoral or sinful or wrong, Jesus met those people with grace and compassion and unconditional love. And when you and I were far away from God in our sin, He pursued us. He came after us. He drew near to us and He reached out and He made a way for us to be forgiven and free. Here's what I want to say in this. Jesus loves without boundaries, and so should we. Jesus takes the "you're not like me, therefore we have to be divided" mentality of our flawed human nature, and He shows us a better way. Even though there's diversity, even though there's disagreements, we can still love well. We can still form genuine friendships. We can treat every person with dignity and respect as our neighbors, created in the image of God and deeply loved by Him. It's almost like the example that we see of P.T. Barnum in the movie. It serves as an example to our generation. Because I would say this, both the church and society in general are struggling with this love without boundaries concept right now. And as followers of Jesus, listen to me now, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to do better. We're called to be better. We're called and empowered by God to genuinely love, to genuinely value, to befriend people who are different from us. And when we do that, we become a tangible, visible expression of the love of Jesus. Christ-like love leads with love, friendship, and respect. Christ-like love brings people together and welcomes people in, even if they're different. Christ-like love loves across barriers, not within them. Sometimes that looks like reaching across the political or theological aisle. Sometimes it looks like making a friend of a different race or a different cultural background than you. Sometimes it looks like hearing someone out whose life experience is different than yours and you seek to understand. Sometimes it looks like setting a standard of honor toward those whom society has a hard time valuing. Maybe it's somebody younger than you. Maybe it's somebody older than you. Maybe it's someone with physical challenges, someone that comes from a different socioeconomic status than you, someone who comes originally from another nation. You know, that's what I love about New Point, by the way. Maybe you've heard Dwight share this before, but we call this the greatest compliment we've ever received as a church, and it wasn't even intended as a compliment, but it's been said of New Point, that's the church that'll take anybody. That's like a badge of honor. I mean, that's awesome. That's who we want to be. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. We'll take anybody, because that's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. The third thing is this, and you could have seen this one coming. Dream big. Dream big. Did you pay attention to the lyrics of the song we heard just before the message? I want to put some of those up there. It's from the song, A Million Dreams. Check it out. It says, because every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams are keeping me awake. Some of you, that used to be the case and not as much anymore. I think of what the world could be. The vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's going to take. I love that. I love that. From the time he was a kid until the time he died, P.T. Barnum was a dreamer. His dreams drove him. Part of the reason The Greatest Showman was such a successful movie is because it speaks to our hearts and the part of us that has a desire to do and achieve something meaningful, something awesome. It's one of the things that I've tried to help my kids understand from the time when they were little. In fact, there's a saying in our house, and they could quote this because we still say it, even though my kids are much older and even some of them out of the house now. They still know this because we said it a lot in our house, to dream big dreams and set God-sized goals. In fact, one of the things I did with my kids from the time they were little is I would make dates with each of the three of them as individuals, and we would go out together to a bookstore often or a coffee shop or something like that, and we would sit down and we would scrapbook together, and it was just a dream day. And that's all we would do is we would just dream together about what are the possibilities for my life. In fact, we named these times together. We called them possibility days. And so we would have possibilities every so often, me with each of the kids individually, and we would scrapbook. We'd cut things out of magazines, or we might cut out quotes. We might put some scripture in there, and we would spend time just dreaming. In fact, I brought my youngest. This is Andrew's possibility book. His book of possibilities is what it says on there. And we would just begin to scrapbook and just talk about what are some of the dreams that you have for your life. Because I want to be a dad. I want to be a parent. Parents, I know that you want this too. You want your kids to dream big dreams. Help it come alive in them. Help them see that God has a vision for their life that's bigger than they could ever dream up on their own. In fact, what if you made this your prayer? What if you helped your kids understand this? This is lyrics from the song as well. However big, however small, let me be part of it all. Now, it might sound silly to say I'm going to pray a prayer that's from a song, but the idea is there. What if you said, Lord, I want to be swept up in your dreams. God, I want to share in them whatever part you want me to play. If it's big, if it's small, what if you pray, God, I long for something real. Just like P.T. Barnum, you know, I've been dreaming my own dreams. I've been pursuing my own stuff. God, change my heart so I will run hard after your dreams for my life. And help me go after it with tenacity and courage and enthusiasm. God, I want to hope in something bigger than my own dreams. Dreams, in fact, dream dreams so big that other people think you're crazy. Just go for it. In fact, Jesus' words in the book of Matthew, he says, nothing is impossible with God. With God, nothing is impossible. Dream those kind of dreams. Here's number four, because when you dream big dreams, here's the last one. You're going to get resistance. There are going to be naysayers. Defeat resistance with persistence. Defeat resistance with persistence. P.T. Barnum experienced a ton of criticism. So many obstacles in his way to pursuing his dream. There was even a newspaper writer in the movie who was just nothing but a naysayer, just always negative and writing negative articles in the newspaper about his show, even about him as a person. He had no problem sharing his opinions in the paper. P.T. Barnum and his performers were cruelly mocked, and many people in the city just made fun of them and had a hard time with them. He faced practical and financial challenges over and over and over again. In fact, take a look at this scene right here.
Ringmaster. Gentlemen, gonna have to ask you to leave.
This is our town, son. We think you should leave. You and your freaks and your spooks.
Sir, I will only ask once more.
Then what, boy?
They even burned down his theater. Yet he did not give up. He had a dream in his heart and he pursued it even when life did its best to get him to quit. Look at what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, so we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you'll be honored along with him. It reminds me of the story in the Old Testament of Nehemiah and how God puts dreams in our hearts. And he put a dream in Nehemiah's heart to rebuild the wall of his hometown, of the city of Jerusalem, to go back to his homeland and lead the effort in building a wall that would restore a sense of protection and spiritual vitality to a physical and spiritually broken people. Who were returning home from exile in a foreign land. Nehemiah was constantly met with criticism and mocking by the enemies of God's people who didn't want the wall rebuilt. And God's people, they didn't want God's people restored. He was threatened with physical attacks. He faced discouragement and weariness. weariness into people helping rebuild the walls, not to mention just the sheer size of the task. It was daunting. And every time criticism and obstacles came his way, Nehemiah encouraged himself in what God had called him to do. He prayed for God to help, and he kept after it, and he kept after it, and he kept building the wall. He didn't let a few critics and a few challenges stop him from what God put in his heart. Here's what I know. As you pursue the things God puts in your heart, big or small, you're going to face resistance. You know that to be true already. Listen, there's always going to be critics. There are always going to be those who don't understand what God has called you to do. There are always going to be obstacles. I'm just telling you today, don't let those things, those people, those obstacles snuff out what God has put in your heart. If God speaks to you now and asks you to shift gears and go a different direction or make adjustments, by all means, cooperate with the Holy Spirit in your life and adjust in whatever way God's telling you to do that. But don't adjust what God has called you to do simply because there are critics being critical of you. So what's this mean for you and me? Maybe today you feel that God is calling you to pursue him more deeply and more passionately, more wholeheartedly, and your friends don't get it. You feel like you're going to get criticized for it. Maybe you know God is inviting you to develop a consistent practice of prayer and spending time in his word. Maybe serving at church, and you don't feel like you can do it. Maybe there's someone in your life that God is just prompting you to serve, to step up and help in some way. Maybe it's someone that God is prompting you to share Jesus with, and you feel intimidated by that or even discouraged. Maybe there's some area of need in your life that you struggle with, and God is just calling you to trust him with it. Maybe you feel called to some field of study, or to somewhere else, or some work or ministry. And maybe you had that dream at one time and it has cooled. You've allowed it to cool. Whatever it is, I'm just encouraging you today to keep an open conversation with God. Follow his leadership and don't let resistance win. Persist. I believe that the dream that God has placed in you matters. I believe the things that he's called you to do matter. I believe he will use you to make a difference in the world for him. So don't give up. Don't give up. Your life gets burned down, you start again. It is not too late to pursue your dream. Let's look at one last clip from this movie. Check it out.
Meg said no?
Emphatically. Repeatedly. I don't think there's a banker left in the country I can fool into loaning me more money, so. I'm really sorry to disappoint you all.
Don't worry, Barnum. We've gotten used to it by now.
You know, Barnum, when I first met you, I had an inheritance, claim, an invitation to every party in town. And now, thanks to you, all that's gone. All that's left is friendship, love, and work that I adore. You brought joy into my life.
Into all our lives.
Here, here.
Money the bank would take joy as collateral.
They may not. But I will. I am 10% of the show. Knowing who I was working for, I had the good sense to take my cut weekly.
Philip, I can't let you gamble it on me.
Sure you can.
Don't turn sensible on us now.
Partners. 50-50. Partners. The only thing is, I don't know how we're going to afford a building.
Building. Real estate in Manhattan is a terrible investment. Wait, I can get land down by the docks for almost nothing. All we need is a tent.
Listen to me. Your dream is not dead. With God, all things are possible. You can do all things through Christ who give you strength. I want to put some questions on the screen as we wrap up. And I want you to consider these. You might want to write them in your notes, whatever you want to do with these right now. But I want you to take some time and reflect and see where these land in your heart. What's my deepest dream? The next one is, how much passion do I experience in my daily life? How about this one? How often do I take risks that require God's involvement? Setting God-sized goals for your life. And then one more. If I had to name the one true thing that I think God put me here on earth to do, what would it be? You may not know the answers to all those right now, but you can take some time to think about those and reflect on those and answer those honestly and courageously. Pursue God and ask Him. Say, God, give me that passion. Give me the dream that you have. Bring it back to life for me. That's what God does. He brings dead things back to life. You know that? He's the one who calls things not as they are, but as He would have them to be. He wants to do that in your life. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for fun stories like The Greatest Showman that really show us some truths and remind us of things that are so important in life. And as we look at that, we realize it's fun and it's interesting, but ultimately it's your word that means everything. So as we tie that to a movie that we've seen, thank you for what your Holy Spirit does in our hearts to bring us back to an idea that maybe you placed in our hearts or a dream that we had, or maybe we're even pursuing it right now. But I pray, God, that wherever we are, whatever we're facing, whatever that looks like for us, that you make that dream bigger, that you'd help us take steps toward you and toward that at the same time as we pursue your plans for our lives, your goals for us, the things that you want to see us do as we strive to live a life of significance in Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jesus, who indeed comes that we might have life and have it to the fullest. Help us to embrace it. Help us to walk in it. Help us to get it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcast through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.